Most of the time, from what I understand, and I gave one of these talks a few years ago on some dynamic systems, but you hear about cutting edge theory and all that, and it hopefully makes you think about what it would be like to do mathematics in grad school and all those kind of things. And a lot of mathematics is born out of creative efforts where you take maybe things that weren't previously connected and you connect them. Or if you look at theory and see how you can further that theory just from a strictly can I massage this information type view. But there's another way that efforts can be creative, and that's what I want to focus on now. Where you look at foundational things that you may have taken for granted, and think about, can I perceive that in a different light? And if I can, will that lead to further understanding or a deepening of my knowledge base, thus allowing me to use whatever information I'm looking at in a different way? So my talk today, or our activity today, is going to deal more with perspective than creativity. But it's a creative perspective. So, along those lines, how many of you, well, I know all of you have seen the polar coordinate system, right? So where did you first see the polar coordinate system?
In
high school when you were this big, okay. And what did you do with it in geometry?
Didn't do
a whole lot with it. Your high school as well. We won't go there. I guess that's a story for another day. When did you first see, Corey? Polar.
Saw it in Calculus 1.
What'd you do with it?
It's a good question. I think we were taking the derivative of volumes of things.
Volumes of things and use polar representation. Okay. Someone else. Where did you see polar equations and polar coordinate system? And what'd you do with it?
Found the area of a circle.
Well, how was it introduced? Because traditionally, whether it be in calculus or in high school, what do you have first before you work with polar equations? Pardon?
Rectangular coordinates.
How about trig? When you saw polar, wasn't it having to do with Polaroid, the beautiful roses, the cardioids, and all that? And they look pretty and they're nice. And you had trig, so it made sense. But I contend that you don't need trig, and that when polar topics are introduced that way, a lot of students just take it for granted that, okay, this is polar, and then you start doing calculus on it, but you don't really understand what's going on in a polar system. So let's go back and try to understand what's going on in a polar system. What'd you say? Of course, one person fully understood everything.
Totally got it.
So this is a different way to look at the polar coordinate system, where there's not going to be trig involved. There's only going to be two things involved. Directed distances, which are vectors, but you don't even have to really know what a vector is other than it's a directed distance. Okay, there is a magnitude there and there's a direction, but that's all you have to know about this. And the other thing you have to know is, what is a radian? Remember when you were this big and you were taught, what is a radian?
What is a radian?
Mm-hmm.
Is there just a way, another way to cut the angle?
Another way to right, there was degrees, and then all of a sudden you got to pre-calculus or calculus, and there was these things called radians. But what is a radian? We use a lot of words in mathematics, but can we define them? What is a radian?
It's a ratio.
It's a ratio?
Yeah.
Okay. You mastered it, right? So what is a radian?
It's good. Just when you put the radius of the circle onto the circumference, and you find the angle at that.
Good. You did master it. Okay. So, if I have some circle, how do I find one radian on the circle? I take the radius, I pull it off the board, bend it a little bit, and put it along the circumference of the circle, and say I'm going to bend it, it goes right there. So there's, if I took this off and placed it on there, there's one radian. How many radians are there around the circle?
2.5.
A little more than 6, right? So no matter what the circle, but what if it's a bigger circle? Is there more radians? Because all circles are similar. There's always going to be a little more than 6 radians around the circle. And while we're at it, just what is this measure here? From there to there. What angle is that?
90 degrees.
What's a degree? Pi over 2 radians. Oh, okay. And so what is what real number is that approximately? Approximately. Pardon? It's 3 divided by 2, a little more than that. So a little more than 1.5, right? And so this is a little more than 1.5 from here to here. Because the reason I'm bringing these things up is because you could do all the what we're going to do with a calculator, but we're not going to use calculators. We're going to do this purely through approximation. So this is around 1.5, 1.57. What is this angle in radians from here to here? A little more than 3. 3.141 something. From here to there. Come on, do some calculation. Pardon? Yeah, was it 4.7 or 8, something like that. And then you go all the way around, it's a little more than, it's around 6.28, right? So now you know what a radian is, and a directed distance is this little arrow that has some length, okay? So what you're going to do, what else did you do with polar coordinates? Before you did the calculus of them, you said, here's polar equations, A plus B sine theta, or R equals 3 cosine 5 theta. And what else did you do with polar equations? You had rectangular, you had polar, so what did you always try to do? Convert. You go back and forth. So students convert these things that they don't even know they're converting, But I can convert, right? I can do the algorithm. So we're not converting here. That's the first thing I have to talk to you about. We are not converting anything. We are comparing. All right? So we're going to compare, for example, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to compare some things. The other thing that I must ask you to dismiss is you probably all know that in the polar system you have a function r of what? R of theta. So you put in some thetas and you spit out some r's, and there's a different way to look at things. But you can't do that because you don't know what polar system really is yet. Okay? So you don't know what the polar system is. You're this guy. You had it in geometry but doesn't remember anything. Okay? So you don't know anything about a polar system. So you can't pull out a calculator or start thinking, r theta. No, that's not the point here. The point here is comparison strictly based on what you know. Now, does everyone remember how to find points in the polar system? The ordered pair is r theta. You sweep a theta, you go out r. What if r is negative? It's like a vector. You direct it backwards. Okay, that's all you need to know. So I'm going to pass this out. There's a quiz at the end, okay. And then I'll go through this with you very... you missed the introduction. Okay, you can watch it on YouTube later, I guess. Okay, all right. Did everyone get one?
No.
I don't want to deprive anyone.
Is there an extra one?
There's all kinds of extras. It may be a lot of work, but when you're done, it's going to be a good kind of tired. Okay? You're going to be tired, but it's going to be a good kind of tired. And then there's food or something, right? Carbohydrates to make you more tired. Okay, so let me just walk you through this first. Remember, it's not a conversion. It's a comparison. So if you turn to the back of the first page, and I'll let you do this two different ways. Thanks. You see, here's y equals some constant in our old friend the Cartesian land. Okay? And we can think of x values as a mapping such that we put in an x value and we get this directed distance, we get this vector, and it drops off a point on that line. Now, since y is a constant, for any x I put in, of course, I'm going to drop off the same y value, and I end up getting a line. The way you're supposed to look at that is this. How would that look? How would r equal a constant look in polar land? Now, if you remember your calculus, what's it going to be?
A circle.
A circle. And the reason, in our exercise, the reason this is a circle is because you're going to... I'm going to zoom in so I can show you. You're going to pick up the x values in Cartesian land become theta values in radians in our polar land. So you're going to pick up this directed distance, and remember, it doesn't change when you pick it up, and you're going to, wherever this x is in radians, you're going to put down that arrow. And since this is a wrapping function, when I pick up this one, I'm going to put it down here and drop off a point there. Pick up the other one, I'll put it down in whatever radians that is and drop off another point. And you see these points, because these directed distances never change there, you're going to get a circle. And see, we didn't have to put any points. This is a very qualitative look at things. We're not doing any number crunching. We're just estimating. Okay, so if this is 1, for example, if x equals 1, then 1 radian, oh, it's about there, because this is 1.57 radians approximately, so that looks like about 1 radian. So that makes sense. You have a constant here by the wrapping function, that becomes a circle there. What happens, if you turn the page, if you have y equal x? Well, your job is to graph y equal x. That's going to take a while, I know. And pick some x values, and you can make whatever scale you want. And take, remember, you can't put in any numbers or anything. You're just going to take your little directed distances that drop off points on whatever, on your y equal x, and take them, and those x's now become angles, and drop off your points with those arrows. Now, there is a little bit of scaling going on, because if this is 1 here, and you make this 1, these arrows will change by scaling a little. Now, if you don't like that you have to scale from here to here, I'll give you blank paper, and you can just think of it this way. If you had blank paper, which I have, you could think of, for example, taking this arrow and thinking of it as a piece of raw spaghetti or something, and pick it up and put it and drop it down on blank paper if you want, wherever it goes, in a blank system. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with some slight scaling differences between the two graphs. So if you want blank paper, you can do it that way. Does everyone understand the exercise? Now, this is not a hard exercise, I hope you'll find, but it gets better and better as you go. After this, you're going to look at a quadratic, and you'll graph the quadratic, and then you'll see what happens here. And then you're going to look at different types of quadratics, and then when you get to the very end, and here's the cool part. Last time I gave this seminar, I did it for mathematics professors, and 3 people died. They were so overwhelmed. And it wasn't because they were old, it was just because they were overwhelmed that they could then look at this graph in Cartesian land, which they could only surmise what the equation would be, and they could take and graph this graph, its polar companion. So, settle down. This is going to be a fun journey. Have at it. Remember, you can't put any points in. You have to graph in Cartesian land, pick up your arrows, and put them in polar land. See what you get. And, of course, you're going to present your results. While I walk around and ridicule you while you do it. So do y equal x and do the first quadratic, and then we'll stop and see where everyone is. And we'll talk about what we've gained from doing this. And if you have questions, let me know. Oh, I can't look. Am I making you nervous? Okay. I was in class the other day. I had to miss because I had a conference, but I got back early, so I went in. My TA was giving the test for me, and I went in the class, and the students looked up, and they said, "Oh, you're here." And I said, "What?" I said, "Oh, now we'll be all nervous." So I left. You know, they didn't have to be nervous. So, I'm a nice guy. Ask John. I'm a nice guy. Going to walk around so the camera can't see you. See? All right, so you have a quadratic. What are you going to do with that?
Map the points over from here to here.
Yeah, but you have to pick up your arrows. You have to humor me and draw your arrows that you pick up from there and put there. Okay. You have to pick up your arrows and put them on the polar, because otherwise when you present your findings, no one will know how you got your findings. Sure, I have more pens and pencils. Pick one. Interesting. So will you draw your arrows?
What's that?
Corey, you have to draw your arrows. So you have to draw your arrows and then pick them up and put them there. Humor me. Just because it's going to look cool. There's a holiday coming up. If you these you'll find when you're done with these, they make great cards. So draw them nice. Cool.
Mm-hmm. This, and I drop it.
Yeah, if you're scaling it, for example, that one radian,
okay.
You should be that much out. Now, you may have to scale it a little. If one on this one is all the way to here, then there's an arrow from there to there. So you're dropping off points just like we did here.
That's cool. Okay.
Okay.
I
do have five arrows.
Okay, so take those arrows and put them on the, and drop off points on the polar system now. So, for example, if this is x equal 1, then at 1 radian, where are you? Okay, etc. Oh, that's a nice picture. That's very nice. Now your arrows come straight off the x-axis.
This is my origin.
Mm-hmm. So you're coming straight off. Your vectors are formed by taking x and dropping off points in y. See, as back here, see, your x maps directly to your y, straight up.
Oh, that's how your vectors look like.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Finish y equal x.
Yeah.
Want to share it with me?
I don't think it's right.
Why? Okay, let's look at this. This is x equal, is this 1
yeah.
in your system?
Mm-hmm.
So where's 1 radian?
Here.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
So you take this arrow
mm-hmm.
at 1 radian and you go out one concentric circle.
And
then this arrow is at 2, so you two. This is 1.6 radians, so 2 is over here somewhere. And you take and you go out 2 concentric circles and drop off a point.
You're always, say I make a concentric circle?
No, these are the concentric circles.
Oh, okay.
because in a polar system.
So this would be where, like, the one goes?
Yeah, the little point there. Because we're pretending you're dropping off points. So this would be 2 radians then, right? Where's 2 radians? And you go out 2 and drop off a point. 0. Yeah. All right. So it's a wrapping function.
We're supposed to assume that there's 6 radians and a...
A little more than 6, right? 6.28.
Well, I was just using the 6th lines, and then when I got around, I realized that I was going to have something
you're gonna
that's periodic.
You're going to be a little off. Yeah.
Well, I just fudged it at the end and made it go there instead. Did I do it wrong?
Yeah, what's all this?
Those were boo-boos.
Oh, boo-boos. So, okay, so that...
Cause I forgot
so let me see how you did that.
Okay. Well, started with this guy.
Okay, so or girl, we don't know.
Okay.
So
and I put him at 0, theta, and 2, I think. Yeah.
Okay, that's 2. So at 0, theta, you go out 2.
Yeah.
And then the next one?
And the next guy is pi over 6, theta. Well, 1 radian.
You go out 2.
And I went out 1 now.
So you need to go out 2, right?
No, each
one of those is. Okay, so you go out 1.
And this guy, the vertical guy, or no, this guy is 0.
Yeah, but it's this part.
That's not what I did, though.
Yeah, so go back and look at that. Okay. Does anyone feel comfortable with their y equal x?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to show us? How many haven't done y equal x yet?
I'm right.
What fun is that?
Okay.
All right. Come up to the doc cam. What's your name?
Andrew.
Thank you so much. Come up to the doc cam. Show me what you got. And explain. All right?
Your findings.
Your findings, yes.
So you see your vector from going from the y equals x line to the y equals 0, to the x-axis?
Well, so since our vector is directed, we're actually mapping from there to there, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So
right.
Each vector is increasingly getting larger.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we to go to the polar coordinates, we start at 0 because the... that one's 0, 0. And so each vector is increasingly getting larger, so it just spirals outward. And I have the x1 vector, the x2 vector, the x3 vector, and the x4 vector that I grabbed from this, the Cartesian coordinates.
Mm-hmm. And so if you were to continue, just keep doing this, what would happen with this graph? Again, I think you said it, but I didn't hear.
It would spiral outward.
It would spiral outward. Oh, okay. And continue to spiral. Okay. Anyone dispute that finding? Okay.
The distance that you chose for your for the mapping from x, y to r theta.
Mm-hmm.
What did you use for your distance?
What is this length?
That right there.
Mm-hmm.
0.
No, this length from here to your x sub 1, I think it is.
Oh, right here. 1.
Yeah. 1. So then you've gone up 1. So go ahead. So how did you choose to put your vector there? I think is what Corey's asking.
So how did I choose to put it right there?
Yes.
So I assumed that this was a radian of 1, a radius of 1.
Yeah.
So that this is a distance of 1. So I kind of thought that this distance fits right there along that circle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is a distance of 1.
Okay, and what is this angle? So this distance you're saying is 1. The scale of 1 on here, you chose that. What is this angle?
1 radian.
1 radian, because now your x has become radian values. So 1 unit here is 1 radian there. Okay. So I said there has to be some scaling since these aren't exactly. Okay. Good. So based on that, did anyone get anything other than that spiral? Okay, go on to the quadratics then. See what we got. Still nothing very earth-shattering, but pretty pictures. Oh, cool. See that? Interesting. A loop even, huh?
Is that not?
Which one is that?
That's the first quadratic.
Okay.
Going back down this way.
What's the axis of symmetry on this?
What, right here?
Mm-hmm.
X.
Okay. Where's x equals 3/2? Okay. That's a little off, right? Because this is 1.57. So I think your look is right. It's just shifted a little too much. Okay. All right. Cool. So what happens with this quadratic? You do them all already? This is cool. Can I see your quadratic?
I actually missed this one. Did my thing fell apart? Mm-hmm. I did this one, but there wasn't a graph part.
Yeah.
I did this one?
You're supposed to be, I think. So go back to the... Oh, so you're not doing any... okay. You're just doing that. I just wanted to see. Where's the next one after the Y equal X?
I don't know. It'll fall apart.
Sorry.
I thought it was this one.
But where's the radian?
There wasn't a part for that.
No, then you've got them mixed up, I think. Sorry about that. You want me to give you another one?
It's okay.
Okay. So do you have one where you have the Cartesian and then the...
Same page.
Okay. But remember, you're supposed to drop off the arrows. See, this is not.
This is the arrows.
But this is not what's happening. I'll just give you a hint.
Not on this one?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Okay, so
how did you do it? I did my scale wrong. Mm-hmm. This is one.
But it's still... So maybe we could relook at how you're dropping your arrows off, okay? But... See if that works.
This is 1 times 2. What? 3? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All right.
I'm not really sure how to connect.
Okay. Okay, at 0, how many? You see, you went out 2 concentric circles, right? Mm-hmm. At 1, you're back to 0, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go 1 radian, 0 theta.
Okay, so that's weird. So maybe you should do a couple arrows in between to really get a feel for it. Okay? Interesting. Which one is that?
That's the quadratic.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have too many arrows.
It looks to be just a little... See this beautiful picture. Did you do the quadratic yet? Okay. Yeah, that's all you're supposed to do. So what'd you get? Interesting. Did you do it yet, John? You get the idea?
Yeah, I got something for you.
Yes. I mean,
this is which quadratic are we talking about?
Yeah, that one.
Here?
Yeah.
These.
It looks prettier with the arrows, but you get the idea. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Okay. Good.
Sorry about the lack of arrows.
They're in your head. All right. Let's see.
Right, though they are.
Yeah, through your head. All right. So good, you can pick up your arrows. I'm glad you did a bunch of arrows. That's good. You're going to get a good picture. Did you do the first quadratic? Did you do the first quadratic?
Okay. Let me see. I mean, I don't know if I did.
Yeah, so let's check on it. Ooh, looks beautiful. Yes. Cool. You want to show yours? Will you put the arrows in? Just so you can show it? Like, for example, draw your arrow there and show me where it is. There. Just so you can. What's your name? Again? What's your name again?
Dustin.
Dustin, do you mind showing us when you add the arrows? Oh, cool. Okay. Now we're getting there. All right. What time is it? We'll show one or two of these, then we'll skip to the end and then maybe go on to the next. I was going to give you more time, but Dustin's back there begging me to show his, so come on up, Dustin. So this is that first quadratic.
Okay, so there weren't very many arrows to draw, at least not from the sample.
Well, just draw some arrows in for me, right? Because you can put in any x values you want.
Yeah. So I guess that's a fairly representative sample there.
All right, what'd you get? What'd you get when you took those arrows, all that multitude of arrows, and put them in the polar system?
So, actually, I feel like I did... did I get the two...
Okay. So here was your first arrow at zero, right?
Yes.
Okay, and how many radians did you go out?
That would be two, I think.
Two? Okay, so it, so your Cartesian point was zero, two?
No. So that would be like, well, you said radians. It's zero radians out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your first point, and then, well, show us your rectangular graph again, if you would, just so we can see. That's why I wanted to see the arrows. All right, so here at theta equals zero, or x equals zero, it's going to become our theta, you went out two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so show us that. I'll now switch back to your other. Okay, so at theta equal zero, you went out two. Now, it's nice if you do some in between, you would find that, yes, this is what happens, because at theta equal one, what happened? It's zero. And then how'd you get this? What's this thing going on here? Did your pen leak, or is that actually supposed to be there?
It goes negative here.
Oh, okay.
At 1.5. So
at one.
Went between theta equals 1 and 2. So somewhere around here.
Okay. Probably a little closer
negative
to the quadrantal. So it goes negative. And then just do one more point for me.
So at 2, it goes to 0 again.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sort of goes around that way.
Okay. And then it starts to get large again, right?
Yeah, it starts to get larger again.
Mm-hmm.
At 3, it should go all the way out to 2. So what I should have drawn was something that went out to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's important. So really, this thing should come out to here almost.
Yeah.
But... let's look at this quadratic. Will you turn back to the quadratic? What is the line of symmetry for this quadratic?
X
equal 3/2, 1.5. Okay, will you turn to the polar? Now, if this were drawn beautifully, and maybe you have ones that are a little better, is there a line of symmetry? See, these are the insights that if you play the game, is there a line of symmetry to your graph? Did anyone get a line of symmetry? Pardon? Theta equals 3/2. So the symmetry holds. When you go, this is not exactly correct, but at theta equals 3/2, there should be a line. So you could take and reflect this, and you should get the same thing. So it's funny, when you switch systems, the symmetry is still there. Now, what happens if you were to continue with your arrows going both ways in Cartesian and then graph them? What's going to happen with these branches, this branch and this branch?
Eventually,
they will intersect. And if you keep going around, they'll keep intersecting. Where will they intersect? Where do they have to intersect? Yeah, theta equals 3/2 for it to be the line of symmetry. So you can predict a lot of things, and you have a little more insight, hopefully, as to why things look like they do if you just go back and look at what they are in your familiar land, your Cartesian land. And my hope is when you're all done that you'll go to polar land, and some of you will want to stay there. Okay? Now, so we have that symmetry that holds, and we have the only other question I would ask is, what's going on here? And why is that there? Because that isn't an ink smear. There is actually this thing here. Why is that thing there, if you compare it to your Cartesian system? Well, what's going on? Pardon? What? Okay, R is negative, so we had to flip down here. But what was going on? Put your Cartesian graph back up. What was going on? What's going on here? You went below the axis, so your r's became negative. But what created the loop then? polar. Yeah. There's a loop because you went from a root to a root. So you had a root where, when you think of ahead, R is going to be zero, then it's going to be something else. But then it's going to have to come back to zero. So when you have a portion of your graph, whether it be above or below, between two zeros of the function, what's that going to create in polar land? Pardon?
A closed loop.
A closed loop. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Dustin. All right. So did anyone do the further quadratics? After you do that one, the other two should not be bad. So if you want, you can, for time, we can skip ahead to the last one and see if you can figure that. Now, what the other two quadratics illustrate is, what if your parabola is tangent to the x-axis? You're still going to get that kind of look, but will there be a loop? What will there be instead? A cusp or some type of dimple, right? And what if the parabola doesn't touch the x-axis? How will that relate to your polar? Yeah, it'll have a little. What's your name?
Corey.
Corey. No, Corey. That's easy. Some type of indentation. Okay. Good. So now that you completely understand this, skip to the last one. You don't even have to know the equation, and just draw some arrows and see what you get. What'd you get? What's your name?
Joseph.
Pardon?
Joseph,
are you going to show us in a minute?
No.
No? Gee, Joseph.
No.
Oh, no, in a minute. I thought you said no. I'm starting to cry. I'm sorry, Joseph. All right. So, in a minute, Joseph's going to tell us, but he doesn't want to ruin your surprise. That looks interesting, yes. Does Dustin agree with you?
Introduced this notation, and then you never used it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because this is truncated. Actually, there were places in the actual... This is from an article. So there were places in the article where we didn't. skipped some pages in the language. Since you didn't need to understand how to graph points. Oh, interesting. I like that. Well, let's see. Joseph wants to tell us. What is your name?
Maggie.
Maggie. Joseph?
Hi.
Maggie. Maggie wants to know what the right thing is. All right, Maggie, get ready.
Okay, well, I actually went ahead and approximated this to be 1.5 radians exactly. Oh, well, maybe not the most precise thing, but...
But that's the general shape you got. Is that what you got, Maggie? Is that similar? Oh!
Yeah,
that's cool. Anyone get something radically? Yes.
Radically the same.
Radically the same. Did you get something radically the same? Ooh, if two people got the same thing, it must be right. At least that's what. Pretty much. All right. So it's just a strange peanut-looking shape, or something like that. Now, what's going on? Once again, in this region, when we compare it to the polar, what's going to happen? Yeah, you have, okay, so you have two zeros of the function, and how does that manifest itself, all this stuff in between, in the polar graph? The loop, yeah, okay. Thanks, Joseph. So you're happy with Joseph, Maggie? Good, good. So I would ask, now think about, how many remember all those cardioids and polar rows and limousin and... lemniscate and all those things. What are they characterized by? And those roses?
Loops.
Loops, lots of loops. Why are all those loops there now? Now you know. Why? Because they're all the zeros of those repeated, you know, those sinusoidal functions, right? And if you investigate this, you would know why some functions are going to come close to the pole. Or the origin, and some are going to stay far away, some will have loops that don't come all the way in. And so instead of skipping right to, oh, here's trig and here's the polar stuff that goes with trig, if you were to think along these lines, I think you would have a much richer understanding rather than just saying, oh, those polar roses look nice, they look like roses, you know, or something, right? And so I hope this activity illustrates the idea of trying to have a different look at things that are there, not necessarily creating new things, but looking at things that are there in a different way. Now, I have another one. Let's just talk about the next one, since we have 10 minutes or so. And then you eat, I think, so I don't want to hold up your eating, but this is another basic thing, where the question that I'm going to extend to is a very, hopefully, interesting question. We'll talk about this. Pass them all around. Here's a few for you. A few for you, Corey. So here's another basic idea where we try to look at things a different way. All right. Now I have calculators here if you want to avoid the tedium of multiplication of certain things. But since we only have 10 minutes, I'll get you started on this, but let's just talk about it some. Okay, so it says, consider the graph of x squared plus 4x plus 7. Does everyone have one? Our old friend, the quadratic. And it says, what conclusion can you make about the roots? Well, what conclusion can you make about the roots? Just do it in your head. A thought experiment. Guess what kind of roots they're going to be? Complex. Okay, good. How did you know that? So when you were this big, you were taught, okay, so complex and roots, what does that mean about the parabola? It doesn't touch the x-axis. Okay, so the parabola, it's somewhere in here. Maybe it looks like that. Okay, that's not what that one looks like. But so then I would ask, where are those roots? They're complex. Is there any way we could actually visualize them? Could we see them if we wanted to? How do you do it?
Could have a complex plane here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could have a complex plane here, and then a rectangular or Cartesian system here. But what if I wanted to see it all together? Because I want to see if there are complex roots, what do they have to do with this real valued function? Pardon?
Like if you like make a circle from the vertex and the radius to the x-axis.
It's a circle?
It might be a circle.
It might be a circle. Okay. So let's, well, figure out, okay, here are the roots. Where is it? Oh, this is a typo. That's supposed to say it is a root. Here are the roots. Negative 2. I gave you the wrong version. That's, cross out that not. That is a root. So it's by the complex conjugate theorem, it's negative 2 plus or minus square root of 3. I are the roots. So what I ask you to do is figure out. So when I put in these, if I have a complex domain and I put in some complex values, 0 is a real number. So what values, what complex values could I put in here and be assured that I would spit out real values? How would you figure that out? Take a minute and try to do that. Try to come up with a conjecture as to what I would put in. I know this gives me a real value because it gives me 0. And so does its conjugate. What other complex numbers will give me real values? Because if I had real values, you know what I could do? I could introduce, in a multivariable idea, I could introduce an axis coming in and out of the board, call it the I-axis. And so now this plane coming in and out of the board would be my domain. And I could say, I could put in a complex domain, so I could pick points in the complex domain and figure out which ones are real and figure out what that has to do with my real parabola. So first off, see if you can figure out what type of complex numbers will give you real outputs all the time. If you know this gives you the roots. And I'm going to fast forward this. I'm going to give you a minute for this. And then, unless you want it for homework. No, you don't want it for homework. So I'll redraw this. Who's going to have the conjecture? Well, you could do it just for this function, but you could use the same process for just any old function. But for time, let's just do it for this function. And you'll see in your process of figuring it out for this one, you can probably come up with a way to do it for any quadratic. Yes.
If your quadratic is mx squared plus kx plus c, mm-hmm. Then a has to be minus k over 2m. Mm-hmm. So minus k over
2m. So what I'm asking is what complex number? What is the form of the complex number? Again, say it again.
Well, on this one, a has to be 4 over minus 2, so a has to be minus 2.
Minus 2. What will b? What restriction is there on b? I don't know. Ask Joseph. Since we're running out of time, Maggie's correct. For any complex number a plus bi, if a is negative 2, when you put it into the function, you will spit out a real value. So I could graph it if I used some type of complex plane coming in and out of the board, and then graph. Now, I think where's the vertex of this? Of this thing. We know the y-intercept is 7. And where's the line of symmetry?
X equals negative 2.
So it's at negative 2, 7. I mean, so what is the value at negative 2?
3.
So at negative 2, 3. Okay, so my real valued quadratic looks something like this. And we know the roots in the complex plane are, I come out a little more than one out of the board, and I go into the board like this. And this is negative 2, x or the real value being negative 2. And Maggie contends that as long as there's a negative 2, so all along this line, which is actually coming in out of the board, I'll get real values. So any idea, any conjecture is what will happen if I put in all the a plus bi's of the form where a is negative 2, what will I graph? What is it? Yeah. You'll have a branch that perforates. It's hard to draw in perspective, but this will be a nice quadratic. I wish I had my visually exciting chalk. I apologize. This will be a nice quadratic that perforates the plane, the complex plane, at the roots and continues down. And how is it oriented compared to this real value quadratic in the plane? Yeah, it's orthogonal to it. And it has to, since this vertex is, its value is negative 2, that's where they'll meet. So now I can see why those complex roots are there and what it looks like. And it'd be analogous if you had an up, if you had a downward, if you had a sad parabola somewhere down here, okay? And so you can visualize this. You can actually visualize the roots. It's kind of neat. And you can even do this in Mathematica or Maple or something and just trick it and, you know, make a multivariable axis. And you can graph this and it'll show, it shows up very nicely and looks cool. So if you included a complex domain, you have this whole other branch that you would never see before that, for certain values, spit out real outputs. Now, for all the outputs that aren't real, well, then you have to do something like was suggested, put them all on another graph in the complex plane somewhere. So now you don't just say, well, it has complex roots. Now you can see those complex roots. And for some, that may be of interest. So the question is, does this work for higher degree polynomials? What would it look like if you started with a cubic, which would have two complex roots, say one real and two by complex conjugate, two complex roots. Or if you had a quintic, it had pairs of complex roots and one real or something. What would that look like on that same method? And could you figure out what values would give you real outputs and what wouldn't?
Would the curve in the complex plane be linear or quadratic?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. That's a good topic for a little paper. I mean, these activities became a paper in the AMATIC journal just because somebody who peer-reviewed them thought they were kind of interesting because they were, once again, a different way to look at things that we take for granted. And that's the point of this talk. Look differently. When you look at your textbooks, look at your notes from now on, just do this every once in a while. See if something spits out that you never saw before. So my question, my challenge to you is tell me what happens. Can you do something like this with a cubic? Can you do it with a quintic, with a quartic? Can you find a graph in some way that illustrates where the roots are? Now, the other thing is, as Maggie said, well, do we want to do it strictly for this equation? What if we just had f of x equal ax squared plus bx plus c? And could you always figure out when what the complex roots would be? And the answer is yes. Were you able to do it? Yeah. Well, don't give it away. That's why I cut you off. I'm glad. Maggie gets 10 stars. In any presentation I give, if you get 250 stars, I'll give you a point or a pat on the back, one of the two. So Maggie gets just a fraction of a pat on the back, and I appreciate that. Are there any questions? I see I'm trying to get you to food.
The roots of a cubic function play on the same quadratic function plotted the imaginary plane?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Would, if you had a cubic, would you still, since you still have a complex conjugate, right? Two go to, would it, yeah. Would there be a quadratic connected to that cubic somewhere?
There's two imaginary roots and there's
right.
A real root.
Well, see, that's what I want you to tell me.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Thanks for playing along. I know you're used to just sitting here and listening, but I thought it might be fun to have you do something sometime. Thank you. Good icebreaker at a party.